All right, this summer, the drive-in theater celebrates its 90th anniversary. Back in 1933, chemical company magnate Richard M. Hollingshead Jr. opened the Camden Drive-In, the first official drive-in theater, in June of that year. He tested the concept in his driveway using an old projector. And that same year, Park Inn Theaters was established as a company, paving the way for an exciting new medium. It was 25 cents for admission. Scott, is that how much it costs to come to the McHenry? Is it 25 cents?
It's off by just a touch.
The McHenry Outdoor Theater was originally called the Skyline Drive-In, which was constructed in 1939, just before the big boom for outdoor theaters after World War II. And by the way, the late 1950s, there was 5,000 drive-ins across the country. All right, the McHenry Outdoor this weekend is their second of the season. And to tell us all about what's happening, the history of the theater, what's new, is the president of Golden Age Cinemas, which includes the McHenry Outdoor Theater. And that's Scott Dean. Scott, how are you, buddy?
I'm great, Dave. It's good to talk to you again.
You know, the movie should be starting in 10 minutes.
How'd I do? Yeah, that was like right off the screen. I loved it.
All right, what's playing this weekend? Let's first talk about that.
Yeah, this weekend we've got, it's a Chris Pratt weekend. We got Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, followed by the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Oh, cool. Okay. All right, cool. How did you get involved with this theater to begin with, and how long ago was it?
Oh boy, this is my 23rd year.
Wow.
And I just came as, you know, just a summer job. I just kind of came in and I wanted to be a sponge and just learn everything about this place because I've loved it since I was a child. This is where I came with my family and, you know, opportunities presented themselves and I tried to take advantage of everyone that came my way.
That's cool. What's the history of the theater and did you buy it from a family that had it for a long time?
I was actually working with a company that had owned the theater, and then when they were no longer going to be in the business, I said, why not? I'll start my own company and see what I can do here.
Wow, that's very cool. How many cars does the drive-in hold?
Well, if I'm here and I'm parking the cars, I can squeeze 960 cars
into
this place. Yeah.
Wow, that's big. I mean, that's big. And I've seen you do flyovers of the place. I mean, you got a lot of property there.
It's a pretty large property, 15 acres. And if we go fence to fence, we can easily and comfortably fit 960 cars in here.
Wow. And what are the options for sound? Because I know some drive-ins still use the speakers, but this is all coming through FM for the most part, isn't it?
For the most part, people choose to use the FM frequency, but we still have those little speaker boxes. And, you know, even though people have the quality stereo sound, you know, that's probably better than most indoor theaters in their car, they still prefer that tinny sound, that old-fashioned sound that comes out of that little box.
Interesting. That's interesting. You know, one of the most important things to me, you know, is obviously the clarity of the screen, which is fabulous. And you just put up a new screen recently.
Right.
The sound obviously coming up, but you do play all those vintage commercials and that continues. And I think that's very cool.
Yeah, we try to, you know, it's a fine line between being old and being nostalgic. So
right.
Old is bad. So we try to really hammer home on the nostalgia portion of it that people really seem to respond to.
Well, that's a great lead into the concession stand because it's been a staple, of course, and it pretty much looked exactly the same for 40 plus years, but you spent some time in the off season giving it a bit of a facelift.
Yeah, this whole off season was spent, you know, this is usually my quiet time, but the whole off season was spent in refurbishing, rehabbing. Everything that was here was replaced with just something newer and more functional, just something to make the customer's experience a little more streamlined, more enjoyable, and, you know, get them through and in and out pretty quickly.
The Bremer Team Tap House and Snack Bar. So I can get a beer there now?
You can. You can get you can relax under the stars with a cold beer or maybe a little glass of wine. I can't think of a better way to spend a summer evening than, you know, with the cold drink in my hand. So why not?
I love that. Very cool. And popcorn is free Monday nights. Is that true?
Yes. So the Bremer team is bringing free popcorn. We're calling it Popcorn on the House Mondays. So you just come in, mention the Bremer team, and we get you a big big popcorn for yourself for the evening.
I love that. Okay, now here's another new thing. Movie previews in the restrooms.
Yes. So we have we refurbished the restrooms. They're all brand new, and we have, you know, the mirrors that you have above the sinks.
Yeah.
So not only can you see your wonderful reflection, but if you look into the mirror, you can see previews for upcoming movies.
That's awesome. I love that. And you're selling some swag now behind the screen, which I think was a long time coming. I know you had a couple t-shirts and stuff, but people love wearing what they love.
They do. And, you know, the other nice thing, too, is we got you got time before the movie if you get here early, which you should. So we got playing cards, frisbees, all sorts of stuff to keep yourselves entertained while you're waiting for the show to start.
I love that. I love that. You know, you mentioned you went to the McHenry Outdoor when you were a kid, and you're right. It is a vintage experience, no question. But you know, my kids love going too, and they really do recognize it as being rare. And when they talk to people about going to the drive-in, there's a lot of kids that don't even know, you know, from a different generation that exists, because there's obviously not a lot of them around here, but they know they love coming there early and or bringing a football or a ball and playing kid, you know, playing catch before the game, or you know, putting their blankets on the roof or kicking back the hatch of the SUV, you know, pulling out the PJs. I think I went to, mine was the twin drive-in in Wheeling. Yeah, it was in Wheeling. And you know, I remember my dad pulling in with his Ford Gran Torino station wagon, and we would take rafts from our cottage up in Wisconsin. We would blow those up and kind of make them as little cots in the back of it. But you know, that was, I think the last one I saw at that era was probably the Breakfast Club.
Okay.
You know, originally. And some crappy, the second movie was always crappy. And this is what I love about your place is, I mean, you're playing two hot, brand new movies back to back.
Yeah, we try to play all brand new features, except, you know, we get into the fall. We like to do what we call our throwback weekends, where we play the classic horror movies around the fall. But I got to tell you, my favorite thing to do here is, you know, while everyone's parking and getting ready for the movie to begin, I can see a young boy playing catch with his dad, and then there's the grandfather there. So you got three generations of people here who are enjoying, you know, just kind of their summer traditions. Yeah. And that's something you don't get of very, very much these days. So it's really fun to see things like that.
Now, will you have any retro movie days and do some flashback movies?
Oh, for sure. We'll start that. Once school goes back into session, we'll start doing all the throwbacks. We'll probably have Breakfast Club for you here, Dave.
I love that. I love that. I would love that. All right. So what movie starts at dusk? What is the charge? What's the fee?
$14 for adults and $8 for children, military and seniors. But every Tuesday we have $14 car loads. So if you can fit 100 people in your car safely, you can get it for $14.
Okay. Any trunk? How about in the trunk?
And the trunk counts as well. Yeah. If you can fit in the trunk, you come on in.
Okay. I used to do that too. All right. The McHenry Drive-In is at 1510 Chapel Hill Road in McHenry. And for more info, you can go to goldenagecinemas.com and click on McHenry Outdoor. Also follow on social media as well. Scott keeps everybody informed of what's going on. I will see you at the drive-in, buddy. Enjoy the movie tonight.
I will do my best. Shouldn't be hard.
Thanks, pal.
We'll see you soon.
All right, as the warm weather is finally upon us, more drive-in memories coming up next here on 720 WGN. It's Day Player on 720 WGN. So once a vibrant part of American culture, drive-in movie theaters numbered nearly 5,000 across America during their peak in the mid-1900s. In a nation that loves cars and movies, why haven't they survived? It's a fascinating and fun documentary out there called Going Attractions, The Definitive Story of the American Drive-In, that examines the drive-in theater's role in American culture from its invention in 1933 through its peak in the late 1950s to its rapid decline in the 70s and 80s. Fueled by the recent resurgence of drive-ins, this nostalgic look at American culture, family, and entertainment tells a story of a changing nation and places the drive-in within the context of U.S. political, economic, and social changes. And joining us to talk about the classic theater venues of the drive-in is the producer, writer, and director of Going Attractions, and that is April Wright. Good evening to you, April.
Hi, how are you?
I am fabulous. What was behind your passion in making this film? I know you're from Chicago, so you must have frequented some of them here when you were growing up.
Yeah, absolutely. I live in Los Angeles now, and I grew up near Chicago. And I went to the Waukegan Drive-In, I went to the Grays Lake Outdoor, and I went to the Keno. And all of those are gone.
Yeah, yeah, the Keno just closed last couple of years, I think.
Yeah, it just got torn down recently. That was kind of a long fight on that one. But, yeah, it was a normal part of my childhood growing up. My mom always threw us in the back seat and took us to the drive-in. In high school, I went all the time. And I made a lot of friends go when I was in college, too. So it's just always, you know, if there was a choice to see a movie and you had a choice of going to the drive-in, that was always my preference. All the drive-ins that are left, the majority of them are doing really well. And I think there's a couple reasons for that. And one is basically it's come full circle. When they were popular to begin with, they were family attractions. And drive-ins are big, too. You know, you've got however many, you know, places for cars, probably 300 on a small drive-in and over 1,000 on a large drive-in. And then you've got, you know, that times two and even more if you have kids. So you have to have movies like they're making nowadays, all these comic book movies, all the big animated movies, draw those huge crowds that, you know, love, you know, going to the drive-in.
Well, part of the experience, too, is once you get there is, you know, there's so many things, the concession stand and everything. But the kids before the movie, they're playing football in the parking lot with other kids. There's a little playground mm-hmm. there that the kids are playing at. Some people are grilling out there. I mean, tailgating, whatever it might be. So it's pretty cool. I was looking at the history of the drive-in in general. And I know sometime around 1915, they had these air dome theaters for silent films, you know, where people would bring folding chairs. It's almost like what we do in Chicago now with these movies in the park. But that's kind of one of the first experiences of watching a movie outdoors.
Yeah, people talk about that predating the drive-in. That yeah, you could see an outdoor movie, silent movie. They did that in Europe a lot too, where there were outdoor auditoriums. There were also stories of during World War One and World War Two having the troops see movies in an outdoor experience. So there was always that element. But the thing with drive-ins really took off with the baby boom and the car culture and moving to the suburbs and all the things that happened after sure. World War II is what made it huge.
Well, and you define that in the movie. And I know that, you know, the first one in the history of this whole thing, the first official drive-in was the Camden that opened up in 1933. Richard Hollingshead was the guy that made that happen.
Mm-hmm. And I had the opportunity for my film to meet his son, who actually remembered his dad doing that. And theirs didn't stay open that long. His dad was in auto care business, so it was just something that kind of went hand in hand. But, yeah, he's credited with it. And then soon after he started it, a bunch of them sprung up. There were about 100 before World War II. But it was really after the wars when they took off like crazy.
And this was vacant farmland, you know, and I love, you know, you talk about a lot of the venue names in this movie. You know, they all had those just great names, the Starlight, the Moonlight, the Skyview was probably most common, wasn't it?
I think it's the Starlight was the most common. And, yeah, the Skyview was also very common. Midway was a common name that they were between cities. But then most of them were just named either after the city or off of the road they were on. So you have, you know, like a Route 39 drive-in and those kinds of names. Yeah. So that people would know where to find them, basically.
But what you really do is you really establish how indicative these and important these drive-ins were during the time that cars were cool. And, you know, that was it was all tied into that experience because, first of all, cars were heck of a lot bigger back then, so you could bring a lot of people and be very comfortable watching a movie, you know, even comparatively to today.
Yeah, and you had the not the bucket seats, but the what were those called?
The front seats, all the way across.
The bench seats.
Yeah, the bench seats.
Yeah, you had
no seat belts.
Bench seats. So So it was easier to fit more people and just, you know, sit across it. Yeah, it was a little more comfortable. And today, if you go to drive-ins, a lot of people don't sit in the car. They bring lawn right. chairs or seats, and they sit outside, which is one of the changes that happens today. But that's because you don't have to have that speaker in your window anymore. It plays over the radio, so you can sit outside and you can hear it inside the whole venue.
I'm a drive-in geek. I have to have the speaker in the car. It's very important. Yeah. It is. It's very important.
A lot of them still have them and maintain them.
Well, we're talking to April Wright. Her documentary is called Going Attractions, the definitive story of the American drive-in movie. You can find it at Amazon Prime, Google Play, and more. And there's more when we come back on 720 WGN.
April, you know, I've got a couple texts that came in already. 815 says, we love the Golden Age Cinema in McHenry. During the fall, they have classic movies every weekend like E.T. and Jaws. And you can see the shows for under $10. You can bring your own snacks as well. 815, love going to the McHenry drive-in with my first boyfriend. Always felt like an adventure. 847, I grew up in Loves Park, Illinois during the late 50s and 60s. We lived two blocks from the River Lane Outdoor Theater. We used to sit in our front yard and watch the cartoons from the theater. It's pretty cool. People got a lot of memories about this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. When you think about it, you had drive-ins from 1933 and really up through the 80s. Pretty much anybody that grew up in the United States, it was just part of our common experience. Yeah. Everybody went to the drive-in. It didn't matter where you were from or what, you know, race or whatever you were, you know, economic status. Everybody went to the drive-in. And I think it's a little sad that we have so few left, and now you run into people that are just, you know, that will tell me, oh, I've never been to a drive-in, and that's just so sad to me.
Yeah, it is. No, it is. You know, we used to go to in fact, someone just texted 708, worked at the Harlem Irving Outdoor Theater in 66 and 67 when in high school. That's from Pat. I used to go to that one, I believe, when I was a kid, and then we went to the Twin on Milwaukee Avenue, and I remember doing that and bringing rafts from our cottage up in Wisconsin to put in the back of the Grand Torino station wagon and lay down and watch the movies from the back seat. But then I also remember going there in high school before they closed, and I think we saw Breakfast Club and then some throwback B horror movie. I think it was called Horror Express. I was trying to look it up. Yeah. So, yeah, it was a horrible movie.
Drive-ins went through a phase where a lot of the movies were not the best movies, but it didn't matter. It was still fun to go to the drive-in, but that was one of the key outlets for those types of films before cable, before VHS and all that. You would see those kinds of movies at the drive-in and have a great time.
Area code 920, within the last couple of years, went to the Highway 18 Theater in Jefferson, Wisconsin. Retro Fun 618, still go to the Skyview in Bellevue, opened in 1949. Great show,
yeah,
Dave.
Yeah, these are all good ones. I've been to all these.
Yeah, yeah. And it's sad to see the ones that are still sitting there but not operating. That's the one that bothers me the most when we're on the road.
Yeah.
217,
well,
Harvest Moon.
I cover a lot of that in the film.
You do.
It's just, yeah, you know, I try to set it, you know, it's not just about the drive-ins themselves. It's all cultural. It's all about culture and economics and technology and all these things that play into it. And it is a little sad in the United States that we have this disposable culture and that we are so economically driven sometimes that we'd rather, you know, put a Walmart where a drive-in used to be. And that's like our idea of progress. Yeah. And now I think a lot of people are starting to realize maybe that's not the best way to go. So I think we've got a lot of renewed interest in things like this, but for a while, those kinds of things were happening.
You know, and sound was a major part of this, and you break down so much of this in this film. And again, it's called Going Attractions, folks. And I'm telling you, you will really enjoy this. This is such a throwback and such a really, you put it together so well and so nicely just in the interviews that you had and really the photos and the videos and so forth. Sound is a major part of that movie going experience. And I know it took from the first drive-in like almost 15 years to actually perfect how they actually were going to project sound into the car.
Yes. So the really early drive-ins just had one or two giant speakers up in front, either on the screen or somewhere under the, you know, coming from the screen level, just blasting at everybody.
Yeah.
And then a few of them had this underground kind of sound system where they came up through portals. I didn't cover that specifically in the movie because it was just one or two drive-ins that tried that approach. And then RCA eventually did that in-car speaker that became the standard. And that's pretty much what stayed all the way up to the early 80s when it shifted to the AM radio and today FM radio.
I bought a set of drive-in speakers years ago that's in my theater, and there's an adapter on it so I could plug, it's not Bluetooth, but I can plug in my iPhone to it and play stuff through the speakers, which is pretty cool. But in 1948, there was the Browns drive-in and fly-in, which you could also, it was parked next to an airport. And that's why I always thought about the twin drive-in in by the Pewaukee airport, that why didn't they position the screen so you could fly your plane in and watch the movies. But that's pretty cool. And then
there were a handful of flying drive-ins around the country. There were actually three or four of them.
And there was also, you know, it gets very buggy. And I noticed that when these little pick, the pick, what do you call it? The bug repellents. You used to light it and stick it on your dashboard, didn't you?
Yeah, they still have them.
Yeah, but I mean, you literally light it and stick it in your car, which is quite frightening. I have an original commercial. Let's play it.
Then there's a drive-in movie full of juicy people. Wow! It's a trap! Help! It's Pick! We've had it, men!
A pleasant aroma for you, but not for mosquitoes. Pick is easy to use. Light it and forget it. Pick's aroma keeps mosquitoes, gnats, and sandflies away. Pick is the best protection for barbecues, fishing and camping trips, or just relaxing in the yard.
Or starting your car on fire. No, but it's interesting that they still sell those as well. You're absolutely right. So you travel the country pretty much in really search of all these fabulous drive-ins and the stories from the people that run them.
The film took me many years to make. I actually took multiple cross-country trips, going little town to little town. I ended up going to every single state except Alaska. And I've been to over 500 drive-in locations, so including open drive-ins, abandoned drive-ins, former sites of drive-ins. Yeah, I've been all over.
That's phenomenal. That's pretty cool. What you can tell by the documentary itself is just it was just so entertaining. I just really enjoyed it. The intermission time, folks. That's something that, you know, when we go to the McHenry, that you can still see. In between, you can still see all these classic commercials, which is so cool that they play in the intermission time. And
most of those were made by a Chicago company. I don't know if you know that.
No.
The famous, the dancing hot dog and the countdown clock and let's all go to the lobby and the Pick one that you just played. All those were made by a company called Filmac, which is Chicago based.
Very cool.
And they still are making them today.
I love that.
Yeah,
that's very cool.
And they also sell the retro ones, too. It's like the third or fourth generation in the family now. But, they're still doing it.
Here's a classic commercial that I found, a drive-in commercial for cigarettes. Let's take a listen.
Guess what? Guess what would taste good right now to everyone in the car?
Cigarettes? Here they are.
The favorite of young and old alike. We've got your favorite kind at the concession stand. Come on down and pick out the kinds you want to enjoy during the rest of the show.
Everybody in the car is going to love that, including the young ones. which I find fascinating.
Well,
that's what it was back then. I mean, could you imagine, rolling up the windows and watching the movie with just, it would be like a Cheech and Chong movie in that car, with all the smoke.
Well, but that was part of the thing in the drive-ins and still is today is I kind of say this in the film that they are a product and an expression of freedom. And that was part of the thing, that you can go in your car and you can do whatever you want to, and you can smoke in your car and you can, whatever. You have your own little space there, and that's part of what people enjoyed about it then and enjoy about it today.
Well, the best way to support your driving folks is to go, and if you haven't gone in a while, take the kids, take the grandkids, just go on a date by yourself. But it is a fabulous experience. The digital quality of the screens are fabulous. The sound is great. And the concessions are fun. It's just such a retro experience, and it's so much fun. So I encourage you to go.
Yeah.
And I also encourage you to go to Amazon.com or to what's your website again, April?
Yeah, if you just go to my website, it's goingattractions.com. You can either buy the film direct, or it tells all the ways that you can get it, either digital, iTunes, Amazon. It's everywhere. You can buy a DVD or you can stream it.
Yeah, it's Going Attractions, the definitive story of the American drive-in. Again, available wherever DVDs are sold. A lot of fun. Thank you so much, April, for spending some time with us and bringing back some fond memories.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. I'm glad you got so many great texts with people that remember their drive-in.